Today's daf is by Matzia daf mem tes. We are holding on daf mem ches amud beis lema kitana'i, about 7-8 lines before the end of the page. The Gemara we left off with yesterday was discussing that in the event that kesef works, for whatever it works for karka, it works in terms of at least being mekabel lemisha para, if a person had given kesef already. So for whatever it works for, do we assume that if a person has given partial kesef, that kesef works for the entire mekach, or do we assume only keneged the kesef? So the Gemara is going to suggest that in fact is a machlokas tanaim, but there are really going to be two explanations of the machlokas tanaim, and it's a machlokas about what Shemitah does to a halva'a that has a mashkon that only covers part of the halva'a. Do we assume that Shemitah is not mishamit on the entire halva'a? Shemitah is mishamit, to what extent is Shemitah mishamit on such a halva'a? The Gemara is then going to have a machlokas whether you're considered to be mechusrei amana, an untrustworthy person, for being chozer on devarim. What if there was no money that even changed hands? You just made a verbal commitment to do something. So is that enough? And then you back out. Is that enough to be considered mechusrei amana? But everyone agrees that if it's a matana muetas, it's a very small amount that we're talking about, then you definitely are mechusrei amana, because at that point the recipient would have smichas das. They would assume that you're going to follow through with it, and therefore it's a lack of trustworthiness if one fails to follow through with it. The Gemara is then going to discuss if someone is chozer on a sale after the nesinas ma'os, so what kind of shomer is he on the money? If he hasn't yet returned the money, so what's his responsibility toward that money? He gave me the money, I decided to renege on the sale, and you haven't yet gotten the money back, so am I a shomer chinam on that money? Am I a shomer sachar on that money? In that context, the Gemara is going to quote some sort of story about a sale of sesame seeds that's going to try to prove something about the status of the shomer, but there are going to be two versions of the story. The second version doesn't prove anything. Then before the Mishnah on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have a case where the mocher can't be chozer after the nesinas ma'os, and a case of renting where the mocha rents an aliyah to a lokeach, where even nesinas ma'os is enough to say that it's final and he can't be chozer. The Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to move on to the subject of ona'a. If something is badly mispriced, so when at what point do we assume that you have to return the difference? At what point do we assume that there's a bitul mekach? And at what point do we just say it's such a minor difference that it doesn't matter? So the Mishnah is going to have machlokas what the shir ona'a is, and then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas how we measure that shir ona'a. Is it based on the percentage difference based on using the money given as the baseline, or do we use the item as the baseline? That will have significant ramifications, significant nafkamina. So let's begin lema ketanai, 8 lines from the bottom of the page, or 7 lines from the bottom of the page, on mem ches on beis. Lema ketanai. Maybe this issue of whether partial payment covers the entire thing, or is only partial payment only covers part of the item, is actually machlokas tanaim. Hamalva es chaveru ala mashkon. If someone lends money with a mashkon, there is a collateral. V'nichnasa shmita, and then shmita year comes. Normally shmita cancels all loans, but if it's malva ala mashkon, shmita does not cancel a loan where there's halva ala mashkon, where there's a collateral involved. Why doesn't shmita cancel a loan when there's a collateral involved? So Rashi writes over here in Masech Shavuos, because the pasuk says lo yigos. So when the malva has a mashkon, it's not bechlal lo yigos, because since he has a mashkon biyadol, he had no reason to be tovea him. Meaning the Torah says that you're not allowed to press him for the money once the shemitah year comes. That implies that prior to the shemitah year, you would be pressing him for the money. But if you already have a mashkon, there's no reason that you would be pressuring him for the money. You already have something of great value that's the keneged the loan. But other rishonim understand that it's based on a different drasha, that they dash from the pasuk v'ashiriyah lecha sachicha tisham et yadcha v'lo shalachicha biyadecha, that if someone is malva, if you have shalachicha biyadecha, you have something of his in your hand, so drasha from the pasuk that there's no din shmita on such money that you have lent out if you have something shalachicha biyadecha. But whatever the drasha is, this appears to be a din d'oraisa, that malva l'mashkon, there is no din of shmitas k'safim. So what if you have a case like the Mishnah said, the Bryce says as follows: malva is chaver l'mashkon, nichsa shmita, Avalpi Shein Roshavel Plug. Even though the mashkon is only worth half the loan, I lent you $1,000. You gave me a mashkon that's only worth $500. Eino Meshame, Tivri Reb Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says, Shemitah does not cancel the loan. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel is not very clear what he means by that. Shemitah does not cancel the loan at all, and he still owes $1,000, or Shemitah does not cancel the $500 klape the mashkon. Doesn't say. Reb Yudah Anasi Omer, Imayim Mashkon, Kenegad Alvaso, Eino Meshamet, Vimlav Meshamet. Whatever the Tanakhama holds, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, no, Shemitah might still cancel. Something that the Tanakhama said Shemitah won't cancel, Rabbi Yehuda says Shemitah might still cancel. But again, we're not so clear what the Tanakhama holds. We know Rabbi Yehuda moves the needle over in a certain direction towards Shemitah canceling the loan, but we don't know in which where the starting point is. So my Eino Meshamet, to come from Shem Gamliel. What does Rav Shem Gamliel mean when he says Shemitah does not cancel the loan when there's a mashkon worth half of the loan? Ilim kenegdo, if he just means that half, Shemitah doesn't cancel that half of the loan that there is a mashkon on, mechlad Rabbi Yudah Anasi savelahach palga nami mishamet. That would mean that Rabbi Yudah Anasi holds that even that half of the loan Shemitah does cancel. So that would be quite a chiddush because the mashkon denakadamali. Then what's the mashkon doing? The mashkon is supposed to stop Shemitah from canceling the loan. If even the $500 that you have the mashkon kenegdo is going to be canceled according to Rabbi Yudah, so the mashkon's not doing anything. Elav shmamine may enu mashamit to come from Shem Gamliel enu masham bekulo. So it must be that when Shem Gamliel says enu mashamit, he means it's not entirely going to be mashamit. Umay mashamit to come Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So the Tanakam of Shem Gamliel holds that it's mashamit that Shemitah cancels $500, but the other $500 is still binding because he has a mashkon connected that. And when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says that it's mashamit lahach palga the lo nakatale mashkon. Sorry, when the Rav Shmuel Gamliel says it's Eino Meshamet Bekulo, that the whole $1,000 is not cancelled. The whole $1,000 is still there. And when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says that it is Meshamet, it means it's Meshamet the $500 that don't have a mashkon. So the Tanakhama says that even though the mashkon is only worth half of the loan, the whole thing is not cancelled by Shemitah. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says no, only that which has the mashkon kenegdo is not cancelled by Shemitah, the rest of it is cancelled by Shemitah. What are they arguing about? Ubahakam Eflugi. Our exact machlokas that we were talking about yesterday. When you give part of the money, do we assume that part of the money covers the entire item, or do we consider part of the money only as the halachic effect on that which is worth the amount of the money that you gave? So says Gemara, lo, that's not the understanding of this machlokas tanaim. This machlokas tanaim has nothing to do with what we were discussing yesterday. May enosh mishamit kamer Rav Shimon Gamliel lahach palga denakat alei mashkon. When Rav Shimon Gamliel says that it's enosh mishamit that Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan, it only means the $500 that you have a mashkon connected. Mechlal de Rabbi Yudah Anasi saver lahach palga denakat alei mashkon nami mishamit. But then doesn't that bring us back to the problem that would mean that Rabbi Yudah Anasi holds that even the half that you have a mashkon for, Shemitah is still going to cancel it. Shemitah is going to cancel everything, even the part that you have a mashkon for. El mashkon denakad amalei. So why do you have the mashkon in the first place if the mashkon is not going to do anything? Says the Gemara, lezichron dvarim bialma. The mashkon is just there as a reminder. That's the entire purpose. That's the entire purpose of the mashkon, just to remind you that the loan is still out there, but it doesn't actually do anything in terms of the halachos of Shemitah. The Ktsos in Siman Ayin Beis proves from Tosos and Masechah Shavuos that when Rabbi Yitzchak says the Balchov is kona mashkon, the Gemara says Balchov is kona mashkon, that's even by a mashkon that's nitan the zichron devarim, that the Balchov has a kinyan on the mashkon, even if the mashkon, the purpose of the mashkon is just to serve as a reminder, not as a partial payment. So the Ktsos just wonders, because our Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds that a mashkon that's given on part of the chov is meshamet kenegdo, even the part that the Ava mashkon on Shemitah will still be meshamet, because the mashkon is only the zichron dvar bialma. But the reason a malval mashkon is not meshamet, the Gemara in Gittin says, is because your kona, the mashkon, that's why the chov is not going to be meshamet. You've already collected it. Your kona, the mashkon. Zichron. So if that's the case, when the Mashkin is given the Zichron Dvarim, if you hold like Tosfos that you're actually Kona it, so you have to say that Shemitah won't cancel the loan anymore, that it won't cancel Keneged the Mashkin. So Tosfos is bothered if you say that, even when it's the Zichron Dvarim, it's still a Kinyan, so then by definition that should affect Shemitah. So how can our Gemara say, no, Zichron Dvarim, therefore it doesn't affect Shemitah? Zichron Dvarim solves the Shemitah problem. So the Ketos works on that kasha with a Tosos Shitasim, but that's the kasha the Ketos raises. Says the Gemara Vayta, Rav Kana Yavalei Zuza Akisna. Rav Kana, the story was, gave money, they gave him money to sell flax. He was selling flax. L'sofa Yakar Kisna, then the product that he was selling went up in value. So Asal Kameh to Rav, he went to Rav to want to know if he's allowed to back out of this agreement. So they had already given him money. Amalei Maidin Nikita Zuze Havlehu. They've given him money, they didn't give him all of the money. So he said, whatever amount of money they gave you, that much flax you have to give them. The rest of it, v'idach dvarim ninhu. The rest of it is just a verbal commitment. Udvarim ein behem yishum mechusrei amana. And dvarim, Rav holds, is not mechusrei amana. It doesn't make you an untrustworthy person if the prices have changed and therefore you back out of the agreement when there's no money that has changed hands. The Itmar, and this is machlokas, the Dvarim, Rav Amar, Ein Vemishum Chosrei Amana, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh Vemishum Chosrei Amana. Rav says it does not make you an untrustworthy person to back out on Dvarim alone, and Rabbi Yochanan says it does make you an untrustworthy person to back out on an agreement alone, on words alone. There's machlokas Rishonim, when Rav Paskin for Rav Kahana, that on the Dvarim he's able to be Choser, is that Lishitasa, that Dvarim Ein Mishum Chosrei or not. I mean, you know, it sounds, of course it's l'shitaso. So how could it not be? So some Rishonim say that of course it's l'shitaso. He says Dvarim ein b'mishum chusrei amana, and this is just a case of Dvarim. So even though over here the Pishton went up in value, he's going, anytime you'd be choser mistam, it's because something changed, and therefore that's the issue of m'chusrei amana. But other Rishonim right, the Balamar, and some others say that someone who's choser machmash shinoy ashar, if someone is backing out, not because stam, he doesn't want to keep his word, but the whole price changed, everything changed in terms of the value of it, that's not mechusrei amana even according to Rabbi Yochanan. The whole machlokas is only when you're choser and it's still worth the same amount of money. So according to that, when Rav Paskin for Rav Kahana could be choser, that's not only l'shitaso, that's even l'shitas Rabbi Yochanan, that he's allowed to be choser. The whole price changed, and that everyone agrees, that even Rabbi Yochanan would agree you could be choser. That's how the Balamar understands. Difficult to read in Tara Gemara, because we have this story where he tells him he can go back, and then the Gemara says, Di'itmar. Di'itmar implies that what we're about to say connects back to the story, and what we're about to say is the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So it sounds like Dafka Rav would say that it's not a problem with choser amana when the price has changed. So that's a kasha on the Balamar. And the Yerushalmi at the end of Masech HaShviyas says that even Rav would say that, yeah, it's Eimah Mishum Chosrei Amana in terms of Ikra Adin. Midas Chasidus, certainly Rav himself was noeg not to be Choser Midiburo. But when someone asks a Shaila, you got to tell him what the Din is. You don't tell him what a Midas Chasidus is. But certainly it's a Midas Chasidus not to be Choser Midiburo, even on something that, even according to Rav, where it's not a violation of Mechosrei Amana. And Mukhe Yosef writes that someone who's Choser Midvarim is considered eino osa maisa amcha, that even if it's technically permissible according to Rav, still it's eino osa maisa amcha. It's not a Jewish thing to do, because the pasuk says sheiris shol liyasu avlov liyadabu chazav. Jews are supposed to be super honest. We're supposed to be extremely honest. So it's not considered to be a Jewish thing to do. Says the Gemara, meisei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer matam lomer hin sedek. What does the pasuk mean when it says hin sedek? Valo hin b'chal eifa haya. It already said that you have to have an honest eifa. So if you have to have an honest eifa, which is a larger measurement, that's a bit a larger measurement, then certainly the smaller measurement has to be exactly precise. Because even in large numbers, you can't be off even by a mashahu. So for sure, when you're dealing with smaller numbers, where that mashahu is going to make a bigger difference, you can't be off in terms of your weights and measures. So v'alohin b'chal eifa, why does it have to mention hin tzedek? Elom elchatz to teach you, she'ehin shalchat tzedek v'lav shalchat tzedek. Your yes has to mean a yes, your no has to mean a no. That when a person says something, he has to his word has to mean something. Amar Abaye, who shall yidaber echad bepeh vechad b'lev? Abaye says, not necessarily a raya to mechus re'amana. That could just mean that when you say something, you have to mean it. But if you did mean it, and now you're changing your mind, you reserve the right to change your mind. It's just that you can't be echad bepeh vechad b'lev. You shouldn't be deceitful. You shouldn't say one thing and mean something else. Rashi, Maseches Ksubos and Daf Pei Vav, says that when the Gemara over there says priyas balchov mitzvah, what's the source of the mitzvah of priyas balchov? You owe someone money, so it's not just a monetary obligation, a mitzvah to pay back the balchov. So he says it's this pasuk, hin shel chad tzedek, that when you borrow money, it's with the understanding that you'll pay it back, and therefore hin shel chad tzedek becomes a mitzvah. The Rishonim wonder that, you know, Abaye over here in the Gemara says that we just learned from here that not to be medaber echad bepeh vechad b'lev. So the din priyas balchov mitzvah has to be from some other pasuk, because priyas balchov mitzvah might be, it means even if initially I planned on paying it back, and so I wasn't lying when I borrowed the money, I really did plan on paying it back. Now I changed my mind. I decided I didn't want to pay it back. So according to Abaye, that would not be a violation of Hin Tzedek. According to Abaye, as long as I, at the time that I said I was going to do it, I meant it, so that I'm fine. I'm allowed to change my mind later on. So they have to come up with another pasuk of priyas balchov mitzvah. They quote the pasuk v'yishar asher atanosha bo yotzi alecha zavot achutza as the source for priyas balchov mitzvah. But anyway, it might be this pasuk according to Rashi at least. Meisvei Rabbi Shimon Omer Avul Bisham Ritalis Kona Dinar Dinar Zav Vein Dinar Zav Kona Talis. Even though we said that money cannot be Kona Metaltalin, but you do a chalipit on the Metaltalin, and you do Mashiach on the Metaltalin rather, and that's Mechayiv the person to pay the money. Mikol Makom Kachalacha Avulam Rishu Par Meachidar Mavul Meachidar Flaga Who Asked the Par Mishenom Bidiburo. Still, the halacha is that there's such a thing called a Misha Para. What's our raya? What are we trying to prove over here? So Rashi points out, well, there should be a vechule over here. What we're trying to prove is from the next few words of the Braisa that go on to say, and a chozer bo ein ruacham noche menu. So it sounds like if we say a chozer bo, someone who backs out even after just money has been given, I mean, even if money has not been given, ein ruacham noche menu, you see that dvarim alone, we didn't, no money was given, no mashicha, no nothing, dvarim alone is enough to be mechusrei amana. So there's a kasha and Rav. How can Rav say that if one backs out on dvarim, it's not mechusrei amana? So says Mar Tanayi, it's machlokas tanayim, it's none. Maisav Rabbi Yochanan ben Matthias Sharma Lebano. Rabbi Yochanan ben Matthias told the son, Tseus chalanu paolim, go out and hire for us workers, halachu pasuk lemezonos. And he went out and he made a very nice agreement with them that for their benefit, that he's going to provide them with mezonos, that's ratui for them. He didn't specify exactly what the meals are going to be, whether it's going to be tuna fish sandwiches every day, or whether there's going to be carving stations and, you know, a sushi guy or whatever, so serving them lunch every day. He didn't say. Ukshavai Love, he came to tell his father about the deal that he had worked out. You can make them sudah shlama b'shaito. You will not have fulfilled what is ratui for them. Shein b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. You have to remember these are b'nei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And as b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, what's actually ratui for them is not what they're used to. It's what's ratui for them. These you have to treat them like royalty. Before they start, quick. Before they start doing any melacha, go out and make sure that the details are ironed out, that you say explicitly that all we're giving you is some bread and some beans, and that's what we're providing for meals. But if you hold that whenever there's an agreement in place, backing out on the agreement is considered mechus re'amana, it's considered to be dishonest. How could the father tell the son, go and back out? You have an agreement to treat them like Shlomo Melech, and now you're going to go and back out on that agreement? So says Gufayu. Now in that case it's different, because the Poelim themselves didn't have smichus das that they were actually going to get that kind of special meal. My time, why didn't they have smichus das? They knew that the kid was working for the father, and they knew that until the father signs off on the agreement, then nothing is set in stone. So there was no smichus das to begin with. If there's no smichus das whatsoever, then even why do you have to catch them before they started the work? Even after they started the work, there's not going to be smichus das.
until the father signs off on it. Says Mar, Hizchilu b'mlach vade samchi detayu. Amru meimra makarbe davua v'nichalei. Once they start the work, they assume that it would not have started without the father having had already approved of it. So at that point is where they would get to smichas das. That's why he had to catch them before they start the work, so that they don't get comfortable with the idea in their minds that they're going to be provided with lavish meals. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that Devarim alone is Mishum Chosvei Emana? That if a person backs out on a verbal agreement, that that's enough for him to be considered untrustworthy? V'Amar Rabbi Bar Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ha'omer L'Chaveru Matana Ninosin Lach Yochel Lach Sabo. Someone who promises his friend he's going to give him a matana, he's able to be chozer. So Yachal Pshit, of course he's able to be Chozer. That was never in question. Even if money's been given, you're able to be Chozer. You just are Makabel Mishapara. For sure, on words alone, you're able to be Chozer. The question is it Mutter to be Chozer? So says Mara, no, that's what we meant. Elu Mutter Lachsbo, that Rabbi Yochanan holds, it's Mutter to be Chozer. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan holds it's Mishum Chosrei Emana if Rabbi Yochanan clearly says it's Mutter to be Chozer on words? So Amar Rav Papa, Moder Rabbi Yochanan B'matana Muetas to Samcha Daitayim. When we're dealing with the matana muetas and the other party has smichas das, that's where you're not allowed to be chosid. That's where it's mishum chosrei amana. But by a matana meruba where there's no smichas das, then it's mutter to be chosir because the guy has no smichas das to begin with. Hachinami mistavra, dam rabbi avo, ram rabbi yochan, yisol shamal ben levi. Well, actually, before we get to the Achinami Mistavra, this sugya is the source, according to most of the Achronim, for what it says in the Ramah, in Yoredei, in Hilchos Brismilin, Sim Reis Samach Dalid, that a person should try to find the best Moel, the best Baal Bris, the biggest Tzaddik. But once he's already hired someone, once he's already asked the Moel to do the job, he cannot be Chozerbo. But if he's Chozerbo, Havi Chazara. Meaning, if he is Chozerbo, the first guy can't push his way in and say, I get to be the Moel. He doesn't get to be the Moel, but he's not allowed to be Chozer. So the Be'er Gra quotes the Makar from our Sugya. He says, I'm going to give you a Matana. If it's a Matana Muetas, he's not allowed to be Chozer because there's a Smichus Das. So this is considered a Matana Muetas where there is a smichus das. But if he is chozer bo, so in lo lavel taromis, the guy can complain, the guy can be upset, and he has a right to be upset at him. He would be it would be fair for him to be upset. But nevertheless, it doesn't change the fact that he was authorized to be chozer. Taz points out maybe in a situation where there's someone that everyone knows, the original moel would know that had this moel been available, of course he would have used this moel. He just thought that the first moel wasn't available. Then in that case, like we had a case recently in the neighborhood where someone heard that a relative of Rabbi Krohn is a moel that's used often in the neighborhood. So Rabbi Krohn's son-in-law lives right here in Farakwa. He does many of the milas in the neighborhood. But Rabbi Krohn has some more distant relative, I don't know if he's even related, who lives in New Jersey or something, and it was on a yantif, and it was about hiring him to come for a yantif to do the bris. He just obviously was completely, why would he put someone up for a yantif? We don't live in Timbuktu, you live in the five towns, they're moel him around. So he wasn't thinking that he was going to, so if it's obvious, if it was obvious that he never would have hired him if he would have known that someone else was available, he would have known who he is. So that mistama is not a violation of this halacha. Okay, so Moder Rav Papa Amar, where am I? Hafinam Mistavir. The Gemara says most Mistavir this way. Damar Rav Yevau Amar Rav Yochanan. Yisrael Shomer LeBen Levi. Yisrael says to Ben Levi, Kor Meiser Yesh Lecha B'Yadi. That you owe me a Kor of Meiser. I mean, I'm sorry. I have a Kor of Meiser that I owe you, that I'm going to give to you. Ben Levi Rashi La'asos Trumas Meiser on Lakam Acher. The Ben Levi is allowed to be somech on that to make a Trumas Meiser for other things. If you say that once you have verbally committed to do something, you are not allowed to back out, so I understand why the Levi can make a Trumas Meiser, because it's as good as given to him already. It's considered to be his. But if you hold that you can be Chazer, why would the Levi be allowed to rely on that for Trumas Meiser? The Levi may end up eating Tevel, because he may never get that Meiser. So says Mara, it must be the cases that he already got it from him and the Levi gave it back to him as a pikadon. Tosfos points out right away the Gemara could have asked Maila Memra. If that's the case, of course the Levi's allowed to be Somechanin. I mean, if I already got my Maisa Rishon and I just ask you to watch it for me, of course I'm allowed to be Somech on that. But the Gemara has a different challenge anyway. But the Gemara could have challenged with that. Ihachi, so what's the Gemara's actual challenge? Ihachi, Ema Seifa, the Seifa goes on to say, Nasan ben Levi Acher, if the guy gives it to another Levi, Eino Lovel Taromas, the first Levi doesn't have any monetary claim. All he could do is complain and be upset at him, but he has no monetary claim. But if you say that the Levi already got it, it was his, and he just gave it as a pikadon to this guy, what do you mean Eino Lovel Taromas? That all he could do is be upset about it. Given the mashke mamona yisligabe. Once the Levi takes possession of it, it's his. It's his money. So of course he has a monetary claim. So it must be that this is a case where the Levi never took possession of it. So you see that it must be that Dvarim is Yeshua Mishum Mechusrei Amana, that it's considered to be Mechusrei Amana because the Levi is allowed to be Samech on this. And the reason Levi is allowed to be Samech, Rashi points out, because Shev Yisrael Yasu Avlev Yadabru Chazav, if he says he's going to give it, he's definitely going to give it. The question that the Rishonim deal with is, even if it is Mechusrei Amana, he didn't make a kinyan on it, how could you make it the Meiser of Yisrael, Trumas Meiser, if it doesn't yet belong to you, if the Levi has not yet been Kona the item? So Tosa Rosh writes in the name of Rabbeinu Meir that we're talking about a Levi who is Makiro, that Makire Leviya, just like we have a concept of Makire Kuhuna. Makire Kuhuna means, I always give my Truma to this Kohen, he's the guy that it's just, you know, I have a system, that's what I do with my Truma, I always give. So you have Makire Leviya, and Makire Leviya is enough to consider it as if it's already Higia Liyada Levi, as if it's already in the Levi's possession. Tosfos Rosh also suggests that even though it may still belong to the Yisrael, but when he says he's going to give it to him, it's as if he's saying, I'm giving you Rishus to use it for Trumas Meiser, and you're allowed to give Rishus that to be Poresh Mishalo on your Tavua. That one is allowed to do. I can say, you can use my grain as the matnos kahuna for your grain. So that's what the Yisrael is in effect telling the Levi. That is how the Tosfos Rosh understands. Hu gavra diav zuzei ashumshmi. There was a man who paid for sesame seeds. L'sof yakra shumshmi. After the payment was made, the sesame seeds went up in value. Hadribu v'amalei lesan shumshmi shkol zuzcha. So he backed out on the deal. Now, backing out on the deal involves a mishapara. You're not allowed to back out on the deal. It's terrible. But it works if you do back out, because there was no kinyan. So he backed out on the deal and he said, you can't have the sesame seeds. Here, take your money back. Lo shakel zuze. The person said, and you have this sometimes in monetary disputes, I am not taking my money back because this sale is a binding sale. I am not taking my money back. So he refused to take his money back. Ignov. Next thing you know, it got stolen from the guy who was originally supposed to sell the sesame seeds and was holding on to this money. Also, the kamei de Rava, they went to Rava. Amalei kivin darmi lach shkol zuzcha v'lo shakilta lomi bayi shomer sachat delavi ala filu shomer chinu nami delavi. Look, he told you to take the money back, so it's not only that he doesn't have the responsibility of a shomer sachar, he doesn't even have the responsibility of a shomer chinam, which means, even if he's posheya, you're out of luck. He has no responsibility whatsoever. Tulsa says, Vadam Periko Umnin, Tol Shalcha Vave Mo'el Shomer Chinam. The Gemara says later on, Daf Pei, that if you say, take your money, that and the guy doesn't take it yet, you're a Shomer Chinam. Hainu Mishum Demei Yikara, Hayu Shomer Sachar, Shomer Le Tol Shalcha, Lo Le Salik Asman Lagamri, Mishmir Kamar, El Shalo Yer Shomer Sachar. That's because in that case, he was initially a Shomer Sachar. So when he says Tol Shalcha, he's just downgrading himself to a Shomer Chinam. But over here, he's never a Shomer anything. The money was given B'Torah's payment, and now the deal is not going to happen. So I'm not a shomer anything. I'm never accepting responsibility as a shomer, and therefore even a pshia is not going to be chayiv. So the Rabban said to Rava, but wait, what about the Mishapara? He still needs to be Mekabel and Mishapara. And therefore what? So Rashi says, and therefore maybe he doesn't want to be Mekabel and Mishapara, and it would turn out that the money is his. How do we know that he was willing to be Mekabel and Mishapara, and therefore he's not responsible for the money? Maybe he would not be willing to be Mekabel and Mishapara, and therefore he is responsible for the money, because the sale is going to be binding. So Amlu Hachinami, that no, obviously it means he's either going to have to pay, or he's going to have to be mekabel the mishapara, meaning he doesn't get off scot free if he's mekabel from the Beis Din, this terrible curse of the mishapara manchidara mabel manchidara plaga. So if he's mekabel that, then he's not going to be responsible for the money. Amar Rav Papi, Amar li Ravina. Rav Papi says, you should know, I think you got the whole story messed up. Ravina told me that lididi Amar li ahume rabbanan v'rav tava shemei, that he heard from the guy, the Baal Maisa himself, and the Baal Maisa was Rav Tavos, and it's not Lashon Hara to say it, because you got the Maisa all wrong. Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Shmei, and some say it was Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, that was his name. These were extremely honest people. You could give them all the money in the world. You could give them all the land in the world. They would never back out on an actual deal. They explained, no, here was the story. It was Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos. And I was sitting there getting ready for Shabbos, and some guy comes knocking at the door. And he says, do you have any sesame seeds to sell me? So Amri Lei, I said to him, lo, I am not a sesame seed salesman. I'm just a guy getting ready for Shabbos. Amri Lahavu Hanuch Zuzi Bibikodan Gabach Da Chashkli. Uh-oh, please watch this money for me, because it's about to be Shabbos, and here I have all this money to buy sesame seeds. You're not selling sesame seeds. Here, please watch this money for me. Amri Lei, Habesa Kamach. Here's my house. Do whatever you want. Put the sesame seeds, whatever. Please, just put them down somewhere. Put them in the house of the Ignav, and they got stolen. So they came to Rav. He wanted to know if he's responsible for the Gnei Vaveda. Whenever he says Habesa Kamach, that you not only are you not, do you not have the responsibility of Shomer Sachar, you don't even have the responsibility of Shomer Chinam. Even if you would have been Poshea, totally fine. Wait, if that was the story, then why did the story end with the Rabbanan saying to Rava, where's the Mishapara? Doesn't the guy have to be Mekabel Mishapara? There was no Mishapara, there was no deal, there was nothing. He didn't back out on anything over here. So Gemara says, Ramali, lo yadvar me'olam. Yeah, that's above my so that part was just, you know, when you make up stories, when you change a story, ultimately you make up parts as well. So that is totally made up. I don't know why it's not possible that there were two different stories, meaning there must have been more than one episode that ever happened about sesame seeds, right? So it could be that both stories are true. I don't know. I don't know why that's not a possibility of here. But anyway, Tosas on Amud Aleph, Kol HaBesa Kamach Lo Mibayi, Tosas points out that the Gemara in Perek HaPara in Baba Kama, Hichnas Bereshos Baal HaChatzer Chayiv, that if he gave you permission to put your stuff there, then the Baal HaChatzer is Chayiv. Rabbi Omer Achi Kavala Lo Baal HaChatzer Shmira. And Rabbi says, no, only when you're Mekabel Shmira. So Yeshlomer Deshmaitin Hasi Karebi. It must be that Arasug is going like Rabbi. Deshmuel Hasam Pasuk Hilchsa Karebi. Because over there, Shmuel Pasuk is like Rabbi. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama over there, then he is Chayiv. HaBeis HaKamach, you are Chayiv. No, it must be that we pass him like Rabbi, because Shmuel over there passes like Rabbi. V'yafkav the Rav Hasam Pasuk Hilchsa Tanakhama. But Rav passes like the Tanakhama. Yeah, when it's Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, and it's a Dini Mamanis issue, we always pass like Shmuel. Hilchsa Kishmuel Bedini. And then Tosus points out, Va'oda, Filu Rabban, the Machai, Vianil, Fisham Lake, Nos Shorcha, Dimashma, Va'ashmarenu. There's a difference between saying, bring your shor in, and habesa kamach. My house is here, whatever. So when you say bring your shor in, it implies some level of acceptance of shmira. But when you say habesa kamach, maybe that implies nothing, no level whatsoever of acceptance of shmira. There's a question in the Rishonim over here, whether Rav Papi and Ravina argue on Rava la halacha, or they're just saying that the Maisa didn't happen. So this is a discussion that the Rishonim have, what the din is la halacha, where the mocher is chozer from the mekach, and he says, Tolmo Secha, is he chayv in yachrayas of the money or not? I mean, it could be the Maisa never happened, but it's still that there's a chiv. The Rif writes that from the fact that Ravina was makabel what Rav Papi had to say, that the Maisa didn't happen, and Ravina was from the Achronei Hamorayim, so we assume that the Maisa never happened, and Mimela, we have no Pesach Mefurish in the Gemara, what the halacha is. Meaning, by rejecting the Maisa, we're actually rejecting the Pesach in the Gemara as well, because we Hilchsa Kabasra, and the Basra didn't accept the Maisa. But other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim say, no, the only psak we have on record is the way the original Maisa was told, and they were willing to believe the Maisa originally because it reflected a valid psak. That's the Ritva and the Ran, and others suggest as well. Okay, at the two dots. Rav Shimon Omer Kol Shekas B'Yado Yado Al Elyona. Rav Shimon had said that when the money is given, it's not that either party is still allowed to back out. It's still able to back out, that the money is not kona at all. It's the mocher who now has the money, he's able to back out, but the lokeach is not able to back out. So Gemara is going to tell us another case where Rabbi Shimon says is an exception to the rule. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon, in another case where Rabbi Shimon is going to say that the mocher cannot be chozer. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Emesai, Bisman Shakasef Peros Biad Mocher. When can the mocher back out? That's if he has the kesef and the peros. Avul kesef biad mocher, peros biad lokeach, einu yachol lachzor bo. But if the kesef is in the hand of the mocher and the peros is in the hand of the lokeach, he's not able to back out. Menei shekaspo biado, because he has the kesef in his hand. Biado biad mocheru. What do you mean the kesef is in the lokeach's hand? The kesef is in the mocher's hand. No, el mevresha demei kaspo biado. No, what we mean to say is because the lokeach has the product already. So if the lokeach has the product and the mocher has the money, it's too late to back out on the sale. Well, that means the sale is done. That means everything has already been taken care of. So, now the case is that the mocher was a tenant of the lokeach. The mocher owned the mocher was renting the upstairs of the lokeach's house. So, time it might take. So, it's the mocher. There was never a meshicha done on the chitim, on whatever it is that he was selling him. There was never a kinyan done on it. The lokeach never did a kinyan on it, but it's in his house that he owns that the mocher right now is renting. Time am I taking Rabbanu Meshicha? Why is it that the Rabbanu require Meshicha and don't rely on Ma'os Konos Midah Reisa? Is because Gezerah Shem Yom Lanisfuchitach Ba'aliyah. We're afraid that a fire is going to break out and he's going to say to him, oh, it's your bad luck, Nisfuchitach Ba'aliyah. Hachabur Susid Lokech Ninu. But over here, it's in the Lokech's house. Enough of the Lekabonus, Yutar Chamaisila. If a fire is going to come, the Lokech will be able to save it himself. Someone gave money for wine. Then he heard that a very important government official wanted to buy that same wine. You can give me my money back. I don't need to buy the wine. Just like a mocher is able to be chozer prior to a meshicha, a lokeach is also able to be chozer prior to the meshicha, and therefore he could ask for his money back. That is against Rabbi Shimon, right? I mean, that's just saying we pass on like the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon held in the Mishnah only the mocher is allowed to be chozer, not the lokeach. The mocher, he has the money biyado, is yado al elyona. Now we move on to the sugya of ona'a. Says the Mishnah, ona'a arba kesef, me'asim arba kesef l'sela, shus l'mekach. Ona'a is measured as 1/6 of the mekach. Ad masay mutal ha'achzir. Until what point can you still be chozer? You come back 5 years later, you know, you bought the computer from Costco or whatever, and it's you say this computer is 5 years outdated now, and so it's not worth any. I paid $1,000 for it. You can't even get $50 for it now. So at what point can you still be chozer? I could issue the tagger or the krovo. Now only enough time that you could show it to a merchant who's able to assess the value, or to a relative who maybe knows something about this. He says that no, the shear of Onah is 1/3 of the Mekach. V'samchu tigre lud, and the merchants of Lud were overjoyed because now they could cheat people by more and still get away with it. Amlem kol yom mutalachzer. But he said they have all day to find out the actual value and to come back. Amlo yaniach lan Rabbi Tavram v'komen v'chazul d'recham. Yeah, you know what? We'll take the original psak. It's not worth it because people are usually take their sweet time by the time they get back, and usually it's too late by the time they want to complain. So we're much better off with the smaller shear of ona'a, but also the smaller window within which they can return the ona'a. So the merchants were much happier with that. Tosov here points out, b'kitei shear of the tagra l'krovim, tomerim kein asad v'rech l'shirim, t'pam shem r'chokim manu p'am shem krovim. How close does your neighbor or your friend who knows about these things live? So for some people it could be right next door, and for some people it could be very far away. So there is no shear of you know, it's really going to be different for every person. That makes it crazy. Tos says no, there must be some standard amount of time that we assume most people will have been able to show it to an expert within that standard amount of time. That there has to be some standard that we work with. We just mentioned the first machlokas in the Gemara. We'll elaborate on it tomorrow. Itmar Rava Marshus Mekach Shaninu Ushmul Marshus Maus Nami Shaninu. Machlokas, when we measure the sixth, are we measuring 1/6 off of the price of the value of the Mekach, or are we measuring 1/6 using the money as a baseline? The Gemara is going to show why, when you do the math, that can make a significant difference in terms of what the Shir Ona is. So we'll allow that all to play out, Bezras Hashem, tomorrow. Right.